Blog Talk Radio.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
Good morning, Internet world, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and so thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join me on the broadcast today. Well, for those of you who have listened intently, you notice that there is new music for the open of the program, and I just thought it was time to change after a few years to something more melodic, something more Christ-centered maybe, and I found this beautiful song. It's the acoustic version from Hillsong's Cornerstone. It's the acoustic, laid-back, nice, melodic version that I want your ears to hear when you first listen to the broadcast. Now, my previous song from Stryper, Battle Hymn of the Republic, had a very attractive appeal, talking about the majesty, the greatness of God. But this is a little less dramatic, but nonetheless, it's an open that has so much meaning, because when you think of the cross in the desert, you're thinking of Christ, and He is the cornerstone, rejected by the builders, but accepted by the masses of people, and founding in Him hope and freedom. Today, on the broadcast, I'm going to spend some time doing something unique that my dear Iranian friend Manoush Bakhtiari suggested to me. And let me explain what we're going to do this morning. About 3 weeks ago, Manoush had an interview with a lady that contacted her on Instagram named Azeda. Azeda is a journalist for a website in London called Kayon London. Kayon London. I hope I'm saying it right. But this is a particular interview that she conducted with Manoush about our new book, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran. The problem is that the interview was done solely in Farsi, the Iranian Persian language. And while a lot of my friends are Iranian, and most every one of Manush's friends are Iranian. There are those friends of mine that are English-speaking, mine included, and we didn't understand what was being said in the interview. While all of our Iranian friends did, we didn't. And so Manush and I have decided that because she was the one selected for the interview, and it was done in Farsi, that it would be a good idea to go over the interview, the questions and the answers in this interview in English for all of us. But there's still another reason why we're doing this. When Manush did this interview, the journalist surprised her with some questions. Some of the questions were a little bit critical about the nature or title of our book. And when Manush did this interview, she has had over 3,000 views on this interview up on YouTube, the K-On! Website. Some of those reactions and questions to this interview and our book have been somewhat critical, and I thought that it would be a good idea, since I was not part of the original interview, that I would take the same questions that were asked of Manush by the journalist, and I would answer it from my perspective. Now, Manush and I had decided earlier, why don't we do a Facebook Live, and you ask me the questions that were asked to you, and I will answer. Well, we thought about it, and Manush is not really comfortable doing live things. And she just said, could you do it on your radio program? I will send you my answers and the questions, and then you go ahead and you answer it from your perspective. And so this morning on the cross in the desert, we're going to do just that. What I want to do first, though, is I want to talk to you a little bit about this book, because not everyone that comes to this page and to this broadcast is familiar with this book. So let me spend a few minutes talking about the project and the contents of our book. About 6 months ago, Manush and I, my Iranian friend, she's a refugee that lives in Sweden, we decided together that we wanted to write a book featuring the stories of the political prisoners and the Christians that once lived in Iran that have become refugees. So this book was a platform to write the stories of political prisoners who have been arrested and imprisoned and are currently imprisoned in Iran. And we wanted this book to be their voice, to be a book to tell their stories. But in order for us to do that, I suggested to Manush that, look, not everyone knows you. Write your story. People in this book that they're going to read, a little bit about yourself. And so in the first real chapter of the book, my Iranian friend did just that. Now, when I first met Manush, I guess it's been about a year, I told her about my radio program, and she was very interested in participating in it. And I said, well, why don't you write some human rights articles? Well, the first thing that she sent me was these private personal letters that she called Dear God. These were letters that she would write late at night as a prayer to God about her situation. And one of the first things I read on my radio program was those letters. And that's the reason why the title of the book was born, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran. So in the first real chapter of the book, you have Manush's letters and her story about living in Iran and the abusive father that mistreated her and her mother so long. It talks about that struggle she had. And then she found that later on, her mother was actually able to obtain a divorce from her father, which is very difficult in Iran for a wife to get a divorce because it's such a male-centered culture where the man is given all the rights for everything. Well, in this story that Manoush sent me, she sent me her story. She talked about how one day she had to get a job to support her mother, and she became a travel tourist agent. And through her travels, she met Christians. And that's how Manoush eventually became a Christian herself. So the first chapter is about that. The next chapter is about President Trump and how he changed history with the way he approached the Iranian people, unlike Barack Obama did. So I wanted to give you an idea of what the book is about. And what I'm going to do before I start answering questions, I'm going to read to you some general words and things that Manoush said in the interview. She said, "Our goal in writing the book is to bring the voices of political prisoners, prisoners that are artists or conscientious objectors, and human rights activists to the attention of the world so that American and Iranian audience can listen to their stories." And so far, it has been a very positive reaction to our book. The name of our book talks about the unity, the solidarity, the power, the positive energy of God for Iranians to achieve freedom and democracy for them. The verses of the Bible that are found in the book are about the two characters, the two stories we have in the book of Christians, Fatima and Mania, who escaped prison and were tortured for their religious beliefs. And Manoush says the Iranian government should never just emphasize one religious belief. There should be religious freedom in my country. Manoush goes on to say in the interview, "Randy and I have researched the human rights struggle for many years in Iran. And unfortunately, I came to the conclusion that the Iranian people lost their freedom 40 years ago when the Islamic Republic of Iran was born and Khomeini became the new leader after the Shah was exiled. And the people should have never welcomed him, and that's why they lost their freedom. And now our youth, as well as families, are trying to escape from this country, and we face asylum dilemmas in the Western world. And hope and freedom has been eliminated in my country. All this is due to the Iranian Revolution 40 years ago." Manoush now begins in the interview to talk about those characters in our book who are those human rights activists in Iran that have been tortured. Mehdi Rajabian was forbidden to leave his own country because he produced a music album. All of his belongings, his website, was confiscated by the government. You can see how an injustice and oppression are committed constantly in the Iranian society. Another story in there is about my friend Maria Rashidi. Many years ago, her ex-husband paid someone to acid attack her in the face, and she suffered horrible disfigurement of her face because of the acid attack, but she refused to quit and became a very brave woman, and now in Sweden, she's known as the secretary of the Association for the Defense of Women's Rights. Her recent book, Burn Freedom, is one of the best-selling books today in Sweden. Manoush goes on in the interview to say, "We have written from each individual as an example as a person whose human rights have been violated in our book. Golrak Ayari is one example of person whose human rights have been violated. Nazrin Satuta." Now, Manoush finished in her remarks in the interview by saying that President Trump and Nikki Haley's support for the Iranian people have been demonstrated and proven. So these are some of the general things that Manoush shared in the interview. But what I want to do right now is take some of the questions that Azeda asked Manoush, or Azeda put forth to Manoush. One of the points that Azeda made in the book, she said, "You wrote about President Donald Trump and Nikki Haley in your book. But the Iranian people largely disagree with them and believe they're anti-Iranian. Why did you write about them in your book? Most Iranian people are opposed to Trump's policy. Now, I don't know how closely that Azeda, the journalist, read our book, because it's very clear to me how important of a role President Trump plays in the support of the Iranian people. I want you to hear this.
When the people of Iran rose up against the crimes of their corrupt dictatorship, I did not stay silent. America stands with the people of Iran in their courageous struggle.
Now, did you hear that? America stands with the people of Iran in their courageous struggle. I want you to hear this again. And hear it, because it's true.
When the people of Iran rose up against the crimes of their corrupt dictatorship, I did not stay silent. America stands with the people of Iran in their courageous struggle for freedom.
That is very clear. President Trump has been a huge supporter of the Iranian people. He tore up and reversed the Iranian deal that was made by President Barack Obama. Barack Obama was never a supporter of the Iranian people. And through this nuclear deal, over $150 billion of sanction relief money was given to the Iranian government, which they use for the continued support of their terrorism all over the world. Instead of reaching out to the Iranian people to help them in their human rights struggle against the dictatorship government, President Barack Obama demonstrated that he did this deal to create a name and a legacy for himself, but did not help the Iranian people. In contrast, President Trump came along and tore up this deal. And as you heard there in his statement, he promised to support and be a voice for the Iranian people. I want to read to you from our book a tweet he made on January 3rd, 2018. Such respect for the people of Iran as they try to take back their corrupt government. You will see great support from the United States at the appropriate time. It's very clear that from the very beginning of the uprising, more than a year ago, President Trump spoke out in support of the Iranian people. Now, former UN ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, said this on January 2nd, 2018, "The people of Iran are crying out for freedom. We must not be silent. All freedom-loving people must stand with their cause." So it is very clear that the Trump administration, that Nikki Haley, is standing in support of the Iranian people. They have never been silent about their situation. If you read in our book, President Trump, A Voice for the Iranian People, I go through the history of the Iranian people in their struggle for freedom. And I talk about the presidential election in 2009, when the people of Iran rose up against what they thought was a corrupt, rigged election and spoke out for their freedom in the streets with demonstrations and protests. And I talk about how at that time, Barack Obama had just become president, and he never once spoke in support of the Iranian people. They were saying and chanting in their demonstrations, "President Obama, are you with the mullahs? Are the Iranian people?" This is what the protesters chanted during their demonstrations in 2009. So the first real chapter of the book goes through what President Trump has done in contrast, in comparison to President Obama, and shows his support for the Iranian people. It is very, very clear. Now, another criticism of the book that has come from the journalists asking these questions, and some of the criticisms from some of the Iranian people who watched the interview, has to do with the title. And I will read to you the question that Zeta had for Manoush. The name of your book Dear God, please bring freedom to Iran. At first glance, it shows that only God can save the people from the conditions in which they find themselves. In parts of the book, too, the Bible is quoted in your letters you wrote to God. This book is very religious. How is it that you talk about religion along with human rights in this book? Right now, there is a religious extremist element in Iran in violating the human rights of. How could you write about religion when the Iranian people are suffering under a religious free system? The basic complaint was, and this comes from her personal feelings, I don't think Azeda believes in God, and she hasn't said she didn't, but she's finding it hard to understand why we're asking God to bring freedom to Iran when the people are the one that has to bring freedom. And she's objecting to the title of the book with the idea that Iranians want nothing to do with religion. Why did you call it, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran? Well, here's the answer. I don't know how much Azeda knows about the house church movement, but there are over 300,000 Iranians who claim to be Christians in Iran, and there probably is more, it's hard to document. They meet regularly in a house church movement secretly so that they can worship and pray and read the Bible and do this without the government knowing, because they know the consequences if they're caught. The majority of Iranians are very religious. Most of them are so tired of the false religious system that's oppressing them, but the majority of Iranians have found their hope and freedom in Jesus. The largest underground church almost in the world is in Iran. And so despite what Azeda says about the title, we entitled our book, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran, because it's a prayer of ours that God will truly work among the Iranian people to bring freedom and salvation to them. We believe that as Christians. And even though that there are those Iranians that don't believe in God, some of them are atheists, some of them are so burnt out on religion because of what's happened to their country, the majority of Iranians are seeking after the truth, and a bigger majority of the Iranians have become Christians. And so we entitled this book, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran, because it represents the majority of the Iranian people who are believers in Jesus Christ or are religious seekers looking for the truth. There are those minorities that don't believe at all, but compared to the larger majority, they're just a small number. And so that's why we called it that by name. Now, in order for Iran to be free, in answer to Azeda, God has to be involved. In my book, I talk about that God himself is in control of the current events that happen in our world. He is not absent or silent. He is involved. He cares about human rights. So when I write about human rights in this book, I connect it with God because God hates the oppression of people. God in the Bible has freed people that were oppressed. He freed his own people from Egypt when they were in bondage to Pharaoh. So God and human rights are very closely related because God cares about his people and how they're treated, the human rights, the oppression, and he brings freedom to people. So he will bring freedom to the Iranian people at his time, for his purposes, and he is actively working right now, bringing many Iranians to hope and freedom in Christ, and he has put President Trump in their lives to be a voice for them, a powerful president and world leader. So this is proof that God is at work in bringing democracy and freedom to the Iranian people. And so Azeda, I think, misunderstands that the majority of people in Iran are Christians, and the majority of those are very open defining spiritual truth and hope. They're looking, they're seeking. And Iranians have found their hope and freedom when they discovered Jesus. And so that was another one of the criticisms of the book. She says, in another point, your book is in English and your audience must be English. What impact does the publication of this book have on American audience? Well, it's a very positive one, Zeta. Here's how this book is impacting American audiences. Many people, Americans, are not aware of the real struggles going on in Iran, and this book is educating them about the various human rights abuses, the various people that have been imprisoned in Iran, the various people that are struggling to find hope and freedom. And so this book is an education to the American audience about the struggle of freedom going on in Iran. It's a very positive struggle. Now, another point that Azeda brings up, she says, in the part of the book, you wrote that 40 years ago, when the people came to the streets for a new revolution, they were looking for free water and electricity, but they lost their freedom for free water and electricity. And the Ayatollah Khomeini had promised that, but didn't keep his promise. How did you conclude that? Well, in the book, Manoush talks about how 40 years ago, there was an uprising in Iran, and a lot of people rejected the freedoms that the Shah had brung to Iran. The Shah had made Iran into a democratic, secular, Western-type society. And many of the religious mullahs didn't like that. They wanted to have an Islamic society in Iran. They didn't like that it was so secular and that there was so much freedom. They wanted more of a religious culture in Iran. And so they rose up and they were attracted to the teachings of the Ayatollah Khomeini, who was in exile. And they welcomed him, thinking that he was going to bring Iran a new beginning, where there would be true freedom, where there would be a religious culture instead of this Western secular culture. And the Ayatollah made so many promises to the Iranian people, and when he took office or took power, he lied. He didn't keep his promise. And Manoush points that out in the book, how the Iranian people 40 years ago were lied to by the Ayatollah Khomeini. They were deceived. He didn't do the things he said he would do. In fact, the opposite happened. Women lost their freedoms. They couldn't serve in public office. They were forced to wear veils to Islamic laws, and religious freedoms were taken away. Minority groups were punished, Christians, Baha'is. There was no religious freedom. A dictatorship came into power instead of a democracy. So that was one of the other questions that she asked Manoush in the book. And this gives you a sample of some of the things that we're answering in our book, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran. What I wanted to say is that Manoush now has had three very good interviews. The first one was on Christmas with Voice of America Persian. It was about a 4 or 5 minute interview. Then we were mentioned in a publication by our Iranian friend Hamid. Our book was referenced in a publication in an article he was writing. And now this interview that she had with Kayan in London. So we've had the honor of being interviewed about our book. And while there have been a few little criticisms along the way, as I've mentioned this morning on the program, yet our book has been positively received. Overall, we have sold over 15 copies and 4 Kindles of our book so far, which for Amazon is really good when you're a self-published author. It's not an easy job to market your book on your own. We're doing it on our own, and we've been successful, and we've had very good feedback from those who have read it. And what I'm doing this morning is helping you understand that though there are those that are critical of the title, we have thought that this is a great opportunity for Iranians that may be seeking and may have differences of opinion, that our book will be an opportunity for them to find not only their hope and freedom in the future, but that they will find their hope and freedom in Christ through our book. And so we have had a great journey together in writing this book and the interviews we've had. And I thought this morning it would be a great idea to spend the first half an hour explaining to you the interview that Manoush had. It was a very positive one because there has been over 3,000 people that have watched this interview up on YouTube. And so what we are asking for you, the listener, to do is to purchase the book on Amazon if you haven't, and give it a good read and give us your feedback. We want to hear what you think. If you've never read Anything That Happens in Iran, this is a great little book to introduce you to the struggles of the Iranian people. So that's the first thing we would ask you to do, is to read our book and give us your feedback. It'll give you an opportunity to see firsthand the struggles of the Iranian people and what they go through every day looking for hope and freedom in Iran. Another thing you can do as a listener is to pray for the Iranian people. We believe as Christians that the only hope for the Iranian people is God, that God will bring freedom, deliverance, and democracy to the Iranian people. We believe that. That's why we entitled our book, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran. We believe in the power of prayer, that God responds to the cry of oppressed people, and he does that. It's very important that you understand that. Well, right now I want to transition to the biblical part of our program, and I want to talk to you this morning about a promise that God has made his people for a new heaven and a new earth in the very near future. And before we do that, I want you to hear this song by Jeremy Camp that talks about the day that promise is realized right now on the cross in the desert.
Try to hold on to this world with everything I have, but I feel the weight of what it brings and the hurt that tries to grab. The many trials that seem to never end. His word declares this truth, that we will enter in this rest with wonders anew. But I hold on to this hope and the promise that he brings. There will be a place where no more suffering. There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain. Yes. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face. But until that day, we'll hold on to you away. I know the journey seems so long. You feel you're walking on your own, but there has never been a step. But you've walked down all alone. Troubled soul, don't lose your heart. The joy and peace he brings, and the beauty that's in store. How is the hurt of life seen? But I hold on to this hope and the promise that he brings. That there will be a place where no more suffering. There will be a day with no more. But until that day, we'll hold.
Worship music of Jeremy Camp, talking about that day in the future when God will recreate the universe and there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and we will dwell forever in His presence. This is a promise that I offer my dear Iranian friends in the midst of suffering and evil. As I was preparing this teaching this morning, and I've taught on this before, I came across an article, and sometimes these articles just come out of nowhere. I don't always find them in my research. They're just there. This article was just heartbreaking. It's a symptom of the problem of what happens in Iran because of the hopelessness. Just a week ago, on Sunday, February 10th, a young mother from the town of Sanay in the western province of Kermanshah hanged her two sons, identified as 6-year-old Ali Reza and 3-year-old Amir Abbas, and then hanged herself. The mother, her name was Zahra Ramati, and sources say that she killed herself and her children because of the extreme poverty. Another woman who was identified by her last name as Badpima killed herself in the western province of Elam on Friday, February 8th. She was suffering from depression as a result of poverty and unemployment. She was a 40-year-old woman. She committed suicide by taking drugs. Reports say that she had lost her parents a few years ago and she had been living alone. Another woman, a 25-year-old woman, Suma Salavati, committed suicide just yesterday in Sandjay in the western province of Kurdistan. 5 women have committed suicide in Kurdistan since just the beginning of this year. Iran's increasing trend of suicide in the past 40 years amongst every different social class, including group suicide, carried out by people of all ages, it's turned into a humanitarian catastrophe. Now, the victims of most of these suicides live in the country's deprived western and southern provinces. Kermanshah, Luristan, Hamadan, Khuzestan, women, young people, and even children have become victim of this cruel phenomenon. Suicide rates in Iran are increasing in an astonishing way. Some statistics from 2011 to 2015, suicide rates increased 66% amongst women, 71% amongst men. the very young blood of Iran, the young people of Iran, are also committing suicide. It's an epidemic. The suicides are a response to the hopelessness and the despair among these Iranian people who see no purpose in their life anymore, who see no future for themselves or their children. And thus a young woman, a young mother of two children, hung her own children and then hung herself. The Bible says, when there is no hope, the heart becomes sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. The name of my program is Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran. When your world has been darkened and crushed by hopelessness, poverty, homelessness, unemployment, and you reach the very pit, and you have no foundation or no hope, then there's only one answer that you seek, and that is self-destruction or suicide. As I went through this report, I thought about the promise of God. The book of Revelation is a very complicated book, but one thing that is very clear is that it is a message or an exhortation to the suffering Christians suffering under the emperors of the Roman Empire. You can take your pick, whether it's Nero or Domitian, depending on when you believe the book was written. But it's a message of hope to suffering Christians who are daily being tortured for their faith, being ridiculed, being persecuted, being put in prison. And God from heaven is speaking a message of hope through the Apostle John that there will be a day, Christians, when God himself will take this universe of sin and death and destruction, and he will remake it. He will create a new dwelling place free from that sin and destruction and death. And that's why this promise is so important and powerful to God's people. If you are a Christian, if you're one of God's people, this is a message of hope for you, that in the midst of suffering, God has the final word. He is in control of all world events, and he will have the final say in it all. In Revelation chapter 21, John writes, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And he said, 'Write these down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of water of life without payment.'" These words are not just a pep talk to help you through the struggle, to encourage you. these words are trustworthy and true, God says. I am going to do something brand new. I'm going to recreate this universe. I'm going to wipe away sin and death and suffering and crying. You know, more than 27 years ago, Eric Clapton lost his precious son when he fell in an accident from a high-rise building and fell to the ground. And he wrote a song that made him so famous at that time in 1991. It's called Tears in Heaven. And he was lamenting the death of his son. Well, according to the Bible, there will not be any tears in heaven. There will be nothing but pure joy and ecstasy that we are meeting our God face to face. We see Jesus face to face. We are free from death and pain and suffering and mourning. There are no tears in heaven. There is nothing but joy and intimacy because we see our God face to face. This is the message that God has of encouragement for his people who had been suffering under Roman persecution, under Jewish persecution, who had been facing the lions, the torture chamber, who were being beheaded. The martyrs of the early church became the seed for the early church, the cause of the expansion of the early church, the growth of the early church. And what was it that motivated Christians to face life and death situations? What was it that caused them to face death fearlessly? They had a hope. They had a foundation in Jesus because he had risen from the dead and displayed himself to the early apostles of the church and had shown himself alive with many convincing proofs. And he had a message of hope and freedom for the early church. And they can face the line. They can face the torture chamber because Jesus is alive, because he's risen from the dead. He's the Lord of the universe, and he has hope and freedom for his people. And John, in the first century, is given a vision to remind his people that this promise is true, that when you face the lion's den, when you face the torture chamber, it is never in vain. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is risen from the dead. And one day there will be no more tears, church. There will be no more crying. There will be no more mourning or suffering. It will be worth it all when you see Jesus face to face. It's never easy when you're facing trials and tribulations, but deep in the resources of your soul, you are convinced that what God says is absolutely a fact. It is true. But this message is for God's people. If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, then you are still without hope. You can find your hope and freedom in Jesus. As I was sharing earlier on the program, the journalist that conducted this interview with my Iranian friend was somewhat speaking from her own experience about God and religion. And as I thought through her question, I was convinced that she is seeking the truth. But you see, a lot of times when people are seeking the truth, they cover up their real intentions with criticism. Oh, you titled your book, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran. But most people in Iran are tired of religion, and they don't want nothing to do with it. Why would you entitle your book that way? I'm convinced that in her criticism of the title of our book, that the journalist that interviewed Manoush deep down is wondering, can this be true? Can God really give the Iranian people hope? And yes, he can. He has given thousands of them new life and new freedom. And that's why every day they meet secretly. They risk their lives. And why do they do it? Because Jesus has given them hope. Jesus has given them freedom. And so you just join us in praying for this lady that interviewed Manoush. Pray that she will find her hope and freedom in Jesus too. But getting back to our teaching, I'm thinking of these young women in Iran that so desperately need hope. And without a foundation of hope, they have no way of facing their trials and their struggles. And so because they have no hope for a future, for themselves, their children, their family, they take their lives. How heartbreaking. This is why we wrote this book. This is why I send this book out on files to Iranians who can't order it or buy it, because I care more about the message of hope than anything else. And that's why we entitle our book, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran. They need the hope that he offers in Jesus. And if they have that hope and they have that certainty, then they won't take their lives, but that they will endure, knowing that Jesus will never leave them nor forsake them, that either in this life or the life to come very soon, they will find that perfect dwelling place in his presence, where there will be no tears, there will be no mourning or crying. That is something that God wants us to get so strong in our heart, that we have this hope in all of our circumstances. That right now, with the evil that surrounds us, we have a foundation. We belong to a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We belong to a kingdom that will endure forever beyond the grave, because Jesus has conquered death, hell, and the grave. He is Lord of the universe. There will be a day, Jeremy Camp sings, when there will be no more tears, be no more pain. This is our hope. Because earth is not our home. And don't you know, when suffering and trials come, they wean us from any reliance we have on this planet for hope, and they cause us to yearn for the perfect day that's coming. If we lived here without a trial, without a circumstance, we would no longer have a yearning for heaven. We would say, life is so good right here, Lord. Let us just stay here. But God, in his wisdom, brings trials. He brings suffering so that we are no longer attached to this temporary existence, but that we have a yearning for a future, a city which cannot be shaken, a place of perfect existence. In fact, when you read the Bible, it talks about the walls of the New Jerusalem. So isn't it true that every city will need a wall? Well, in heaven, there will be no wall to keep evil out, because there will be no evil. But the point is, there is a city whose buildings and foundation are God that awaits us. There is nothing here on this planet that should cause us to be attracted to want to stay here. Our hearts should be yearning for the day of the new heaven and the new earth, because God said in his promise, these words are trustworthy and true. Just in case you have any doubts, just in case that you're losing your hope, just in case that the trial that you're enduring is somehow cracking your hope, God is reminding you in this message, these words are trustworthy and true. But this message that I'm giving you this morning is reserved for those that know Jesus. If you've tuned into this broadcast, maybe for the first time, or maybe you've listened before, and you're thinking about the things I've shared with you, I encourage you to cry out to Jesus. He will show you His truth. He will reveal what I'm saying is true. He will give you a hope and a freedom that you need. And the Bible says that all of us, we have broken God's law. We have sinned. We fall short of the glory of God. But the Bible also teaches that Jesus invites us to know Him personally. Come to me, you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. And the Bible says that Jesus offers us forgiveness and salvation, and that if we confess with our mouth that He is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised Him from the dead, the Bible says we shall be saved. If this is you today, I encourage you and invite you to know Jesus as Lord. And when you do, the promise of the new heaven and new earth will be a reality, a foundation for you to rest upon, because it will be something that one day you will experience because you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. He has made the difference in my life. He is the reason I do what I do. He is the hope that I rest my life upon. And so today, I want to thank you for listening to the broadcast. God bless you, Mary, for coming by and listening again. I really appreciate you being here. I will see you again this Thursday on The Cross in the Desert as I begin a brand new teaching series on the Beatitudes. God bless you. Everybody have a great week.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Love.